My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We hope you'll stay tuned to join our upcoming conversation with Mike Rupert from the Wilderness. Mike, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Mike. Always good to be here.
Well, I appreciate that you are here to participate in our regular update on what's happening with the CIA, and in particular focusing on the agency's involvement and condoning of narco trafficking. Mike, for those people who are not familiar with who you are, let's, if we can, reintroduce who you are and why you are so knowledgeable about this subject, the CIA and its involvement in drug trafficking.
Well, for those of your listeners who may remember, after the Gary Webb stories broke in the San Jose Mercury News in August of 96, there was a big flurry of activity in the country, and the CIA director, John Deutsch, came to Locke High School in Watts at a town hall meeting, and I was the former L.A. police narcotics investigator who stood up and confronted him on world television with the names of three specific agency operations: Amadeus, Pegasus, and Watchtower, where the agency had been dealing drugs. And at that time, I had been trying to expose the agency for 18 years. That was as a result of my family background, which is my family is deeply rooted in the National Security Agency, the CIA, and I had been raised in that environment, and then I was being groomed for a very high-ranking position within LAPD, and I had discovered CIA dealing drugs in 1977. And spoken out about it then, so I had been uninterrupted on that case, so to speak, for have now been for 21 years.
We're speaking with Mike Rupert, who is a preeminent investigator of the Central Intelligence Agency's involvement in narco trafficking, and publishes a very fine newsletter, From the Wilderness. Mike, a couple of developments are happening, and of course, much of everything else that could and should be getting coverage is not getting coverage because of the war in Yugoslavia, and certainly somewhat understandably so. But, you know, the CIA came out with its own investigation, quote unquote, of its alleged involvement in narco trafficking. And despite what many people tried to portray as the agency being absolved, indeed, the report shows something quite different, correct?
Oh, yeah. The report itself, volume two of the CIA's Inspector General report, was it was a virtual confession by the agency, and it served a political purpose, but that report contains hundreds of pages of agency cable traffic reports, their own documents, which show very clearly that the CIA, during the Contra War, worked with 58 known traffickers. It protected six others. It used firms that were Class 1 DEA violators, moving tons of cocaine, which were using bank accounts established by Oliver North. The admissions in those reports are astonishing in their detail, to the point where class action suits have been simultaneously filed, and I had a hand in that in Los Angeles and in Oakland, and a third suit in Gainesville, Florida, against the agency for failing to report and protect the American people based on the admissions that we now have in their own documents.
Talk more, if you will, about the class action suits, the nature of them, and how they were filed, and what is intended to be accomplished as a result of this.
Well, the class action suits were filed March 15th of this year, simultaneously in L.A. and Oakland. We had discovered, I had been trying to find attorneys for a long time to handle a class action suit. Many people had been. We'd been talking about it, and with the revelations of the last year, specifically March 15th or 16th of 1998, there was a revelation of a memorandum between Reagan Attorney General William French Smith and Bill Casey, the CIA director, which basically was a conspiratorial document saying that the CIA no longer had to report drug trafficking by its agents. And it was a very smoking gun, a big cloud of smoke, a lot of fire, proving that there was premeditation in the Reagan years on the part of CIA to deal drugs. That we found out when I connected with some lawyers in the Bay Area, Katya Komisaruk and Bill Simpich, proved to be the start of a clock ticking of statute of limitations. We found we had 1 year to file from March 16th of last year. So we got the suits filed March 15th of this year, which stopped the clock nationwide. And we filed very simple suits, very much different from suits of the past, like the Christic Institute lawsuit or anything else, because these are based on documents we already possess, which are declassified in the public domain. We're not seeking any classified material. We don't have to. And we're using the tobacco model, which is already good case law, that the CIA had a duty and an obligation to protect the American people from drug trafficking, and that it engaged in criminal behavior by conspiring to not inform and not advise law enforcement of this threat to the security of the American people.
We're speaking with Mike Rupert of From the Wilderness. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. Mike, there is something I know that you have said before and other people that I've spoken to who have been involved or are involved in law enforcement, that the document, the memorandum of understanding that you were talking about, is far more evidence of a criminal conspiracy than the evidence that has convicted hundreds of thousands of people who are currently in our prisons convicted of narco conspiracies, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have, if you use the same standard that have been used to put, you know, tens of thousands of men in jail on no drug conspiracies, largely African American men, we could start putting people in jail yesterday. Now, there's a statute of limitations, obviously, on criminal behavior, but, see, we only discovered the existence of this memorandum a year ago, and we're filing a civil suit, not a criminal suit. And the suit is carefully designed, by the way, so that any community in the country can download this suit. It's on my website, by the way, at www.copvcia.com. You can download this suit, insert the names of your own community, whether it's a city or a county or whatever, and file the same class action suit against the CIA where you live in federal court. And we've already had our first copycat filing in Gainesville, Florida, and we are expecting also filings in the very near future in New Orleans and Seattle. And we hope to have suits filed all over the country because this is a hands-down winner for us.
It seems to me that almost any community in America could file a legitimate version of this suit, since the scourge of drugs and the cost of the whole war on drugs has affected every man, woman, and child in the country.
That's absolutely true. Of course, our first and most immediate provable case was Los Angeles and Oakland as a result of Gary Webb's marvelous work and in his book, Dark Alliance. But, you know, I've been at this 21 years, and we can prove all over the country. I mean, this is not just CIA specifically setting up a base camp in Los Angeles or the Bay Area. We have one CIA ring in Mexico that was moving 4 tons a month of cocaine during the 80s. And that cocaine was going all over the country. I mean, L.A. or Oakland couldn't have consumed 4 tons a month. That's a lot of, that's a lot of coke. So, yes, it was flying in all over the country. It was being protected all over the country. And the CIA is responsible all over the country. So the suits are set up so that anybody can take them anywhere and file them.
We're talking with Mike Rupert, who is the publisher of the newsletter From the Wilderness. Mike, I'm thinking as you're speaking, and you know, we had a broadcaster yesterday who did a marvelous program. I'm going to refer to it a lot because he had Professor Noam Chomsky on yesterday, and Chomsky was very, very much speaking to the whole issue of censorship and manufacturing consent. And I mean, it certainly seems that the whole issue of censorship really applies to this story in the fact of what has happened to people like Gary Webb, and the fact that people such as yourself and Sally Castillo and other people are coming up in some cases with eyewitness testimony. And yet, I mean, the corporate media in the U.S. did everything it could to try and destroy Gary Webb, I think, and has really made an effort to try to not cover the evidence that people such as yourself and Sally and others are doing. I mean, when we have people accusing with legitimate proof, or at least legitimate evidence that stands to be investigated, accusing our own Central Intelligence Agency of flooding our country with narcotics, I mean, to me, that is a story that should be told and covered and really examined. But yet, they seem to do everything they can to avoid telling the story. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I mean, the agency's involvement in the drug trade is so well documented, it's no longer an issue of can it be proven. Yes, it can be proven in a New York minute. Now we have the agency's own report with which to do it. So the issue is not can it be proven. Yes, it can. Why doesn't the major media do this? Well, the major media, you have to understand that corporate media, as we call it in this country, is Wall Street. It's, you know, the Fortune 100. It's the Fortune 500. The CIA, and you have to understand it's an agency. What that means, it works for or on behalf of somebody or something. Well, it's not the American people. The agency works for and on behalf of Wall Street and the major banks. How do I know that? Well, let's look at the Dulles brothers, John Foster and Alan Dulles. They ran one of the largest, most powerful Wall Street law firms. Alan Dulles was the director of Central Intelligence who helped create it. William Casey, Ronald Reagan's DCI, was chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. John Deutsch, former DCI, who I confronted, sits on the board of a half a dozen major companies like Raytheon and other companies. The agency works for Wall Street. The major media trades and is trades on and is part of Wall Street. NBC is owned by GE, a major defense contractor. CBS is owned by Westinghouse. You go on ad infinitum. Henry Kissinger winds up on the board of Newsweek and The Post. Corporate media doesn't want to cover this. They have a huge issue, ego investment in this, and they won't go back and do it. Of course, we have documents from C.L. Schulzberger of the New York Times admitting that CIA was dealing drugs back in the 70s. They know it. It's a part of an economic trap that has to do with the generation of cheap capital, and I have always said, and I am more convinced than ever, that CIA dealing drugs is not a political issue. It is an economic issue. And it will not be solved until we begin to look at it that way. And it's very sad to know. And in the upcoming issue of my newsletter, which mails this week, Friday or Saturday, I'm documenting the KLA in Kosovo is a heroin-funded creation with strong ties to the CIA. This is a pattern that was established in Vietnam and in the Contra War and in Afghanistan and Pakistan being played all over again. And drugs are all over the side of the so-called freedom fighter oppressed people that we are trying to protect.
This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. Stay tuned for contact and ordering information at the end of the program. We're talking with Mike Rupert, publisher of From the Wilderness. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. Mike, you moved it to the next topic that I had hoped to get to, and that is the issue of heroin and the Kosovo Liberation Army. As I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that I was told that if you were to talk to any number of the top law enforcement officials in Europe, they would tell you that the vast majority, if not all, of the heroin that's flowing through Europe is coming out of Albania. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Army, is as you so stated, a narco-terrorist group. And this sure sounds an awful lot like the Contras, doesn't it?
Oh, it's almost a cookie cutter. One of the things that I thought was amazing was about 3-4 years ago, I noticed that there's one guy who I follow a lot. His name is Richard Armitage, who goes back to Vietnam with Ted Shackley and all the CIA guys in Southeast Asia who were dealing heroin in that region. Richard Armitage is called my white son by Colin Powell. Armitage turns up in all the POW stuff. He was active in CIA drug dealing in the Vietnam era, also turned up in Iran-Contra, turned up in the Pakistani connections. He's a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. George Bush sent him to the former Soviet Union in 89-90 to help with their, quote, economic problems. And as soon as he arrived in Russia, the Russian mafia took off with all the heroin moving then through Chechnya, Azerbaijan, all those regions of Russia. Everywhere Richard Armitage goes, there is a sudden outbreak of heroin dealing and weapons trading. Well, just a few years ago, he went to Albania and was there to help them on an economic mission with an economy that was being as the media said, sacked by these pyramid schemes that were popular here, which were really laundries for drug money. And as soon as he left there, the KLA started getting arms and buying all these arms. And everywhere Armitage goes, there's a war. So I kind of knew something was coming up there. And as you look at the research, and again, I'm covering this in the upcoming issue of my newsletter, From the Wilderness, the documentation of KLA's involvement in heroin trafficking is unbelievable, yet the major media tells us nothing, because this war is going to be very good for business.
The U.S. government, as short as a year ago, labeled the KLA terrorists. I don't necessarily remember them bringing the issue of narcotics into it, but certainly, I mean, the KLA were called terrorists, and now they're our friends, you know, or at least our government's friends and our intelligence agency's friends. I mean, how does that keep happening? I mean, it seems like our government gets into bed with criminals all the time, you know, whether it be the gangs in Marseille or in Vietnam or in Nicaragua and Albania and Afghanistan and or other places. We seem to side with them a lot. Why is that?
Well, because one of the decisions that was made in about 1980 in a book called The Third Option, which evolved from a position paper written by a former CIA Associate Director of Operations, Ted Shackley, was that the best way for the United States to maintain its position of influence and control in the world was to create and arm both sides of conflicts. Now, let me say that again. You create and arm both sides of conflicts so that you can control tensions through low-intensity guerrilla insurgent warfare. And we have created enemies, and we have fought them because we make profits from both sides. Kosovo, or Kosovo as they call it, is a little bit unusual, but it does follow the pattern set in Afghanistan and Pakistan, because you have to remember the KLA and the people from Kosovo and Albania are Muslim. So they are receiving aid from, guess where, Iran and from Pakistan, and from the former freedom fighters who turned out to be terrorists like Osama bin Laden and all the people we created in the 80s in that region, which is the source, by the way, of where the heroin is coming from. So we make money on both ends, but what's happening as a result of this conflict, as I see this, is that the United States, Britain, and Germany are carving a sphere of influence in this region, which is rich, extremely rich in oil and mineral resources, which is going to help American, Western, British, U.S., German companies make profits, and it's denying that sphere of influence to the Russians. So this is kind of like, it's got a little World War I, a little World War II, the way Hitler wanted it. And this is just classic economic grab for land, and drugs have always, in the last 40 years, wormed their way in as a part of starting all of these conflicts. It's the easiest way for intelligence agencies to start wars.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, because when you're describing this, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about these issues in our next hour when we have a gentleman, Zoltan Grossman, who's going to be on to talk a little bit more about the history of the Balkan region. But, you know, I'm thinking when you're speaking, and I'm saying, well, let's see now. Governments can, you know, sort of tax people to get money, and they can use that to buy high-priced weapons and lots of guns and all of that. And where do the insurgents get their money, the so-called insurgents? And not to say that all insurgencies are based on this, but one way to do that, of course, is to, you know, have a flow of cash going to them through a black market like narcotics. At the same time, we have ever more draconian drug laws in the United States. The United States is the highest consuming nation of narcotics, as I understand it. So you make things really illegal in the United States, that drives up the price. More cash flows into the world narcotics market, which finds its way to certain groups, which can then use that money to buy weapons. And who do they buy those weapons from? The same Wall Street companies that you were talking about earlier.
No.
That's what it boils down to, isn't it?
Pretty much. The KLA had to be created to the point where it could serve as a cadre or insurgent phase, as the CIA guys describe it, to the point where you would justify the kind of response that the Serbs have been making. Now, the Serbs are Christians, and you got to remember, they were our allies up until just a couple of years ago. The whole table is turned upside down here. But now we see, and this is what's really disturbing to me, is U.S. ground troops going in today, and don't let anybody mislead anybody. The way we got involved with Vietnam was we sent in the Marines as support troops for the first helicopters that we sent in to Vietnam in 1964, 65. That's how the first ground troops got involved in conflict. And we are today, this day, sending 82nd Airborne personnel in, I think it was 2,500, to support U.S. Army helicopters on the ground. And this is the start of a ground war. This is something that could become, unfortunately, not another Contra war, but another Vietnam.
Well, we were speaking with that with another guest, and I mean, they also seemed to feel that we were almost assuredly heading towards a ground war that would be very, very much Vietnam-like, and the fact that once again we could see that whole process take place, and then once again find the final result that we found in Southeast Asia. We've been speaking with Mike Rupert. Mike, let me ask you a couple of things. One is, can you let us know what the near future is going to look like regarding the suits? Maybe share a final thought or two with us, and also let people know how they can get more information from the wilderness.
Sure. We expect the class action lawsuits will be perfected. That is, we filed the suits in an imperfect form to stop the clock, which is now stopped all over the country. So we expect to have the suits perfected within the next 10-15 days. In other words, saying everything that we want them to say about the initial evidence. After that, we will be introducing forms which individuals can fill out to join the class, and we expect to have a huge outpouring of support with that. We expect to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people ultimately signed on as members of the class. All of the information on how to sign up as a member of the class or how to use these lawsuits in your own community is available on my website, which is at www.copvcia.com, like copvcia.com. It will also be covered in much more detail in my newsletter, From the Wilderness, which you can obtain information on by calling 1-800-426-4432. That's 800-426-4432. Now, I don't answer the phone. Just leave your name and a number, and I will call you back when I have time, and I'll give you the information there, but it's all on the web. I prefer you go there. So what will happen next is these suits we expect to take as long as 10 years. We will serve the defendants, which is the CIA, the estates of Bill Casey, Thornburg, a whole number of officials from the era. And then we will go through initial motions, and we expect to have a jury trial sometime. And, you know, hopefully if we get that far, 5-6 years down the road, we would start the jury trial. But these are very simple suits, and they're very easy to win because they're based on documents we have. And they are modeled after already successful litigation based on the tobacco lawsuits.
It would seem to me that it would be a very, very good idea for people who are concerned about this type of activity from the CIA and attempting to possibly get some justice out of all of this. It would be a very good idea for them to perhaps begin to beat on the doors of any media outlet that they could and say, what are you doing about covering these lawsuits that have been filed against the Central Intelligence Agency?
We have already had, I think, some reasonable coverage. Believe it or not, we had a good story from the LA Times.
Good.
CNN has been following. And as these suits get filed in different cities, oh, the press will come. And especially as we start to have 100,000, 200,000 signatures on forms, the press will not be able to avoid the suits any longer. They'll have to cover them.
We've been speaking with Mike Rupert, who is publisher of From the Wilderness. Mike, can you give the web address one more time, please?
Sure, Mike. It's at www.copvcia.com.
Mike, thanks for being with us on the program, and we look forward to having you on again in a couple of months.
My pleasure, Mike. You take care.
You too.
Okay.
That's it for this edition of the program. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. If you're interested in copies of this or other Full Logic Reverse programs, you can contact us via email at flr@jps.net or by telephone at area code 530. 265-9462. Full Logic Reverse is produced at FLR Studios in Nevada City, California, USA. Our music is by Rick Payne. We hope you'll join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.